Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, executive producer of Adventures in Odyssey. Today's episode tells the story of Alvin York, a true American hero of World War I. The dramatic renderings of a couple of battles from that war might be difficult for younger listeners. I'd like to encourage parents to preview the episode first, or to listen with your kids. And as always, we hope you'll discuss the topics introduced here with your family.
Hi, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Greetings, fellow history lovers, and welcome to the premiere of Famous Men and Women of History. I am your host, Eugene Meltzner, and today we'll be discussing...
Hey, Eugene.
Mr. Hollard, I'm on the air.
What's that?
I'm on the air, broadcasting live.
We'd ask me to check out fire extinguishers, make sure they're not expired.
Huh?
There's nothing worse than an expired fire extinguisher.
Mr. Hollard, I'm trying...
Now, you just carry on like I'm not even here, Eugene. I'll be as quiet as a greased hinge on a librarian's pencil holder.
Very well. Again, welcome to the premiere edition of Famous Men and Women in History.
Sorry about that. These things have a hair trigger. Well, at least we know this one ain't expired.
Today's story is about a man who few people today know very well, though the valor he displayed in the First World War is legendary. I'm referring to Alvin York, who is considered by many to be the...
Did you say Alvin York?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
He is one of my personal heroes.
And no doubt we should discuss that some other time. Alvin York was an unlikely hero, born in 1887 in the hills of Tennessee.
Pall Mall, to be exact.
He was the great-great-grandson of Conrad Pyle, the first white settler in the area.
Actually, most folks called him Coonrad, but you go ahead.
Mr. Hollard, would you like to help me tell the story?
Well, I don't want to interrupt. Excuse me. Hi, folks. It's Red Hollard of the Tennessee Hollards. You know, Alvin York may not be known to y'all, but where I come from, he's mentioned alongside the names of Dan'l Boone and Davy Crockett. Legendary. That don't even begin to describe Alvin.
Well, why don't you tell us about his family background?
Well, as I recall, York described his grandparents as true pioneers and God-fearing, too. Alvin's mama was a hard-working woman and a strong Christian who raised her kids to obey the scriptures.
Something Alvin found rather difficult to do himself.
Yeah. He was ornery as a wet boot on a swollen foot.
Huh?
He gave his mama constant misery, stayed out late, drank, brawled, and gambled most his earnings away.
R.C. Pyle, pastor of Alvin York's local church, gave a less than glowing report of Alvin's conduct.
Alvin was a nuisance, that's for certain. Everyone said, here's a fella that won't never amount to nothing. And if you knowed him, you'd agree. Oh, he wasn't always a bad sort. But after his pa died, Alvin got hard and mean and took to wicked behavior. I remember one particular night Alvin was in town with his friend Everett Delk. They'd both been drinking mash again, and they were downright pickled. They were passing by the church when Alvin saw a pretty young gal heading his way.
Okay, I got one for you. Okay, so these two guys walk into the bar.
No, I heard this.
One ducks.
You never heard that one. Come on, man.
It's still not fun. Oh, look at there, Everett.
Oh, no, Alvin. I ain't taking my eyes off of that beautiful creature walking towards us.
That's what I'm saying to look at.
Oh,
pretty, ain't she?
Oh, yeah.
We should introduce ourselves.
Right. You know, like any gentleman would. You first.
All right. Stop. Now, excuse me, ma'am. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Alvin York. This here's my friend Everett.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, ma'am.
Move aside, boys. I'm late for the church service.
Why not? It's mighty unpolite not telling us your name after we done told you ours.
Is that so?
Besides, are you really sure you want to go to that church?
And why wouldn't I?
Well, it's full of folks who...
Who are good and decent, the kind I prefer to keep my company with, so if you'll excuse me...
Whoa, now hang on a minute. We're good people too, ain't we, Alvin?
Salt of the earth.
In fact, Alvin here's a dead shot with a rifle or a pistol. He's the best around these parts.
Is that so?
Well, I don't mean to brag.
brag on me, Everett. Well, Alvin, he can shoot the eyelashes off a blinking frog. He's won a turkey shoot 3 years running.
9-10 and win it again this year.
That's how you measure a man.
Well, it's a start, I reckon. Hand me your pistol, Everett.
Here you go. You don't have your own?
Out of bullets. Now, you see that hickory tree yonder?
Yes, I do.
You see that dinky little branch hanging off it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see that little leaf bud peeking out from behind it?
Yes.
Watch this.
Woo-hoo-wee! You made short work of that, Alvin.
Well, I figure if Frank and Jesse James could be crack shots, well, I surely can. So what do you say, miss? Can we at least get your name now?
No.
Who's shooting a gun off in town? Oh, I should have known. Alvin.
Pastor Pyle.
You all right, Miss Gracie?
Yes, Pastor. Mr. York was just putting the fear of God into our trees.
Ouch.
Come along then, Gracie. Service is about to start.
Gracie, huh? I like that name.
You boys ought to come along. It'd be good for you.
I reckon not, Pastor Pyle. Me and God ain't got much to say to each other.
Suit yourself. Come along, Gracie.
See ya, boys.
Ma'am.
Ooh, that girl is prettier than flowers in the sunshine.
Don't get no ideas, Everett. She ain't for the likes of you.
Oh, I see. Staking your claim, huh?
You might say that. Well, I gotta go. Ma told me to teach Robert how to shoot.
Oh, ain't that sweet? Mollycoddling your little brother, are you?
I figure once he learns to hunt, he can be the one putting meat on the table. Then I can spend my time with more important things.
Things like Miss Gracie.
You read my mind. Again. Boy, you need to take more time. You're in too much of a hurry. Now, Pa used to say, if you can't hit what you're aiming at, you oughtn't be shooting at all.
I hit the tree.
You sure did. But you're supposed to hit that tin can.
I don't reckon I'm gonna be hunting tin cans.
You miss a tin can, and you just as likely miss a turkey or a bird or a squirrel. Then what you gonna eat, huh, numbskull? Now try again before Pa starts rolling over in his grave.
Alvin? Was Pa a good shot?
Best I ever seen. He could take down a whole rafter of turkeys in a few minutes.
Really? How?
Well, first off, you gotta be able to hit them.
I'll practice. Tell me.
Thing is, you gotta have a plan. Turkeys ain't as dumb as some folks think. So you start off by making some noise, right, to get their attention.
What kind of noise?
Well, you just break a branch or gobble at them. Those turkeys' heads will pop right up, and then they'll naturally bunch together. Once they do, you're in business. You just side them down, you pick them off one by one, starting at the back and working your way to the front. That way, they don't notice one another getting hit and run off. Now, give me your gun. Now, you see them squirrels up in that tree?
Yeah.
You see how the one on the right is looking off toward the mountain?
Uh-huh.
Watch this.
You got both of them.
Yep, works every time. You just shoot the one furthest in back first and get the other one before he realizes what's happening. Now go grab them squirrels.
You shot them, you fetch them.
Do as you're told.
I'm just saying that.
Stop saying and get them squirrels, you hear me?
Why should I have to?
Quit your talking and get!
Ow, that hurts.
Yeah, I hope so. Now go grab them squirrels before I clip you harder.
All right, I'm going.
How in the world did I get such a dim-witted knucklehead for a brother? Good for nothing, unbelievable. Awkward. Ow! What in the world? Who's chucking rocks at me?
I guess your idea works pretty good. Hit the turkey in the back first, though I don't need to hit your brother next since you already did.
Miss Gracie, he shouldn't be wandering these hills.
And you shouldn't be clapping your brother's ears neither.
Well, he's used to it.
He shouldn't have to be. You better get control of your temper, Alvin York, or it'll get the best of you.
Well, I suppose all your church going has made you an expert on my temper. Anyway, what's a fine girl like you doing out hereabouts, huh? Whole lot of shooting takes place out here. You might just get yourself shot.
I'm driving the cows home, if you must know. And if you shoot me or them cows, you'll wish you hadn't.
Driving cows is awful hard work for a dainty little thing like you.
I try to do what's right and helpful to my family, which is more than I could say for some around here.
Well, you certainly got some strong opinions, Miss Williams.
I also got a yard full of rocks, but I doubt chucking the whole lot at you would make a dent in your thick skull.
My word, you are a feisty gal. I do believe I could court you.
Ugh. Only in your wildest dreams, Alvin York.
Mr. Hollard, I believe you're embellishing the story.
Well, the truth is that no one knows much about Alvin York's relationship with Gracie, but it ain't too hard to imagine.
Facts are stubborn things, Mr. Hollard. Shall we return to what we do know?
Well, sure. Like what?
Well, there was a late-night discussion between Alvin and his mother.
I know that story.
Oh, joy.
After another night on the town, Alvin came home real late. I'm talking after 10 o'clock here. Waiting up for him was his mama. She was sitting on the porch of their small log cabin, just a-rocking and a-praying.
Ma, what are you doing up so late? Should be in bed.
Can't sleep while you're out busting up the town, Alvin. I worry, and worry's a rocky bed to rest on. Been drinking and gambling, son?
Yes'm, but you ought not worry about me. I can take care of myself.
Can't help it. Every ma worries for her children. And having 11, I worried a plenty. Oh, but you do win the prize for all of them.
I reckon I do.
Been fighting again from the looks of you.
Just a bit.
I just don't know what your daddy would say. God rest his soul. I thought you'd be more like him. Your brothers and sisters sure are.
Well, I expect I'll get around to it someday.
And what happens to you until that someday comes? It's a hard road you're walking.
I try to be good, Ma. But then that old devil gets into me and I just can't help myself. Next thing I know...
Well, if you hope to court young Gracie Williams, you best fight off that devil like you fight those boys in town.
Now, who said I want to court Gracie?
You say it, Alvin. Every time you sneak a look at her in town. But she won't look back unless you change. And she'll wait only so long.
Well, I try, Mama. I will surely try.
All right, your bet.
There you go.
I'll take two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Give me three, man.
No, here, now, give me some good coffee.
Come on, Joe, fill her up. Man could die of thirst around here.
I ain't in a hurry when it comes to surly customers. Besides, you ain't the only man in here.
Everett, you gonna play them cards or not? They're growing mold.
Well, you can't rush an artiste, Alvin. Why do you think I'm winning against these fine gentlemen here?
I know why you're winning, mister. You've been tickling the bottom of that deck.
Ho, did you hear that, Alvin? This fella here's calling me a cheater. Now, only them that knows me calls me that.
I think a man ought to choose his words a bit more carefully, especially when he's a stranger in these parts.
All right, how's this for careful? You're a dirty cheat, and a bad one at that, ain't that so, GW?
Surely is, Frank. And I reckon he ought to start thinking about how to give us back our money without getting himself busted up.
Oh, there's no cause for getting all riled up, fellas. Come on, have a drink. I'm buying.
Not with our money, you ain't.
Are you saying that I've been cheating, too?
Not so much as I could see, but him what hangs out with cheaters is as good as one himself.
Oh. You take that back.
No, sir, I don't believe I will.
You take that back or I'll clobber you.
I guess we'll see who clobbers him.
Now, at this point, there seems to be a dispute about who did what first.
Well, there ain't no dispute where I come from. The man named Frank, who was a lot stronger than he looked, suddenly threw that table aside, and the corner of it hit Everett in the head and sent him sprawling to the ground.
I guess we'll see who clobbers him.
Everett?
What's the matter with him? I didn't touch him.
He don't look too good.
Ah, he's faking it. Get up and fight, you coward.
Shut your mouth, mister. Everett. You all right?
What's going on over here?
Joe, get Doc Morgan.
Right.
Let's get out of here, Frank. This is more trouble than we need.
I ain't going nowhere till I get my money back.
You can't spend that money in jail. Let's get out of here now.
Everett. All right. Everett. Everett. Can you hear me? Everett.
Everett Delk died on that barroom floor.
And you can imagine the shock the town experienced.
Horrible.
Alvin York's mother spoke about the impact Everett's death had on Alvin.
That was a tough time, to be sure. Alvin and Everett had been friends since they was boys. Seems like when you'd see one of them, the other was right there at his elbow. Alvin took it hard. He never said so, but I think he blamed himself. Watching a friend die like that'll change a man, either for good or bad.
Of course, the whole town turned out for the funeral. And Pastor Pyle, whew, he didn't hold back in his sermon.
I knowed Everett Delk. Knowed him well. His ma and pa here are good folk, been attending church since they was born. Bill here teaches Sunday school, while Ethel watches over the little ones during service. They deserve our thanks and appreciation. Now here they are, grieving over their dead boy. And why? Needless fighting over a game of cards in a bar. Now, I don't know what your Bible says, but mine's pretty clear about the wages of sin. It may seem like a good time, but it costs more than it gives. The book of Matthew, down on chapter 25, says that the wicked go away to eternal punishment, but them that does what's right go on to eternal life. Is there a man or woman here that would deny what this book says? And if you can't deny it, why don't you live by it? It's time for each of us to take God at his word and...
Now hang on, Pastor. I know what you're doing.
You got something on your mind, Alvin?
You want to say something to me, say it directly. Don't hide in a bunch of preaching.
Alvin, I'm talking to anyone who ain't following the righteous way.
Then you are talking to me.
Well, I reckon I am.
Heaven knows that I take to a good fight. A good plug of tobacco and a cheap bottle of moonshine. There's plenty of all to be had around here, and I've had my share.
Well, that you have. And so did your friend Everett. And you see where it got him. Well, this could just as easily be you lying in that there coffin, Alvin.
I suppose.
Then what are you gonna do about it? Are you man enough to face the truth and do the right thing? Where are you gonna be when your maker suddenly calls you to give an account of yourself, like he has Everett here?
I ain't sure, I guess.
Well, then you know what you gotta do, Alvin.
Yes, sir. I need to walk up to that altar, sir.
Oh, it ain't just walking, son. It's dying. Well, not like Everett here in this pine box, but dying to that infernal man inside you that's been fighting against God.
I know it, and I'm willing to do it if my feet will start working to take me up there.
I'll walk up with you, Alvin.
Miss Gracie. Thank you.
Okay, Matilda, now everybody sing.
There's a hymn you can hang your hat on.
Indeed, albeit in a provincially colloquial sense.
Well, I'm not sure what you just said, but there's no doubt that moment in the church worked. Alvin York was a changed man. He joined the church and dedicated his life and heart to God.
Indeed. And you know what else?
But
he had a growing affection for young Gracie Williams.
Oh, he sure did.
What are you doing here?
Nothing, Miss Gracie. I've been out walking.
In this rain?
Rain don't bother me much. Here, I'll bring you this possum.
Oh, well, thanks.
I guess I'll get going.
Alvin, why'd you come here?
To drop off the possum for your supper. Don't you want it?
Of course I do. Just like I wanted that turkey and the squirrel and the three rabbits you brung last week. Alvin, if I didn't know better, I'd think you were trying to court me.
I told you I would, but
That just seems like a long time ago. Things have changed a lot since then, so...
They sure have. So are you courting me or not?
Well, that depends.
On what?
On whether you laugh at me for saying I am. Oh, you're laughing. You're laughing, so I suppose I ain't courting you now.
I'm laughing at you, but I ain't laughing at the idea.
Is there a difference?
Yes, there's a difference. I knowed that Elvin was fond of me from the start. Truth is, I kinda liked him too. I'd wander them hills with the cows, just hoping we'd run into each other. Of course, I thought nothing would come of it, seeing Elvin kept the door shut on God. I was so glad when he walked up to that altar. I'd been praying, Pastor had been praying, Mrs. York had been praying. That's a heap load of prayers piled up on one man's shoulders.
It truly was an amazing thing. Alvin became a pillar in the community. He threw himself wholeheartedly into his faith.
Which wasn't a surprise to some people, Pastor Pyle for one.
That was Alvin all over. Seems like whatever he put his mind to, he put his heart to. When he was back carousing and raising Cain, he was doing it with all his might. But when he gave his life over to the Lord, he dropped all those things like a hot skillet. No drinking, no smoking or cussing or gambling or fighting. Even become an elder at my church, if that don't beat all. He'd come by my store, shopkeeping was my trade by day, to buy supplies and such, but I think that was an excuse. He really come by more to learn and talk about the Lord. I suppose the store's as good a place as any to do that in.
Oh, come on. I just want a little tobacco. You can't deny a man that.
I can and I will, Earl Tompkins. You're well over on your credit on this door. If you pay up, we can do business. Otherwise, don't be wasting my time.
Well, for a pastor, you ain't very pastor-like.
Gentlemen, everything all right here?
I'll be with you directly, Ivan.
Now be reasonable, Pastor.
Oh, hush up, Earl. If you'd come asking for food for the family or a pair of shoes for your boy, that'd be one thing. But tobacco? No, sir. I won't give you no credit on that.
A man needs his tobacco, Pastor. But just ask Alvin. He knows what I'm talking about.
You know I gave that up, Earl.
Oh, that's right. Ever since you started pining over Gracie Williams, you gave up being interested.
I ain't been pining over Gracie, and I didn't give up nothing because of her.
Our bodies are temples of God's Holy Spirit, Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Someday you'll know that to be true. Well, what brings you in, Alvin?
Ma needs a sack of flour, Pastor.
All right, I'll get it from the back. Earl, make yourself useful and show Alvin the newspaper.
Here, just come in yesterday.
Well, I ain't much for the news. Hey, would you mind snagging me some salt while you're back there, Pastor?
All right, then.
I guess you don't want to know about the war then, huh?
Well, I reckon there's enough feuds around these parts.
No. This ain't no feud. This is an out-and-out war. President Wilson's had it with Germany. Said they sunk some ships, and now it's time to give them what for.
Well, isn't that something?
Suppose I'll go fight them Germans. How about you, Alvin?
I reckon not.
You won't fight? What are you, a coward now that you're holier than thou?
Time was when I'd have pounded you for saying that, Earl.
You're a different man, Alvin, that's for certain. Okay, here we go. Anything else while you're here?
Nope, that'll do.
I suppose you'll go to war if they tell you to go.
I won't. I'm again killing because the Bible's against it.
All killing in a war ain't the same as killing anywhere else. Wartime killing is killing to protect. There's a difference.
Not to me, Earl. I can't do it. My conscience won't allow it. And that's the end of it.
What do you have to say about this, Pastor? I suppose, being a man of the cloth, you'll side with Alvin.
Alvin will do whatever he believes God wants him to do.
There ain't no man telling me otherwise. I'm done with fighting. I'll see him where it leads.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the government says about that.